Well, we got a lot in front of us. Not just camp. We've got to occupy till the Lord comes. Whether it be an hour, whether it be 18 hours, or whether it be 18 years, we don't know. We got a lot to do. And we're going to have the Lord, that's for sure. But we're going to have His children. We're going to have His young people. We're going to have to make sure we bring Him along with us. And because a lot of us are getting old, we ain't got that much time left in us. And we're going to have to get some things done. Is there any more of these left out there on the table? Everything's took care of? All right. Don't forget. Keep that with you. And be praying over your name that you've drawn, okay? All right? We have a few thoughts tonight, just very few. Just one. We got what I'd like to end up with tonight after we get done preaching. I'd like for everybody to gather around this altar that's able to come. And we want to pray about camp. All right, so I'm going to preach about camp tonight. We'll preach about us and a church, and we'll preach about individuals and groups and touch everything I can in just a very few minutes, all right? And I want you to listen carefully, all right, to what the Word of God says. There's a lot expected out of us, a lot. I look at these kids, and I'm burdened for our church. I am burdened for our church tonight. I'm burdened for camp. And we are living in the last days. There's always people you can ask for advice. When I started in this thing 42 years ago, almost 42 years ago, they was preachers that you could talk to and ask, and church leaders, and say, well, now, what do you do in this case? And what do you do in that case? And some of them old heads, they tell you, you know, well, you probably ought to do this. Don't do whatever you do. Don't do that. And, you know, you might try this, but don't do that. They'd always tell you, make sure you don't do that, because they had done learned that's what you didn't do. But now we're in last days ministry.
Yes, sir.
And there's nobody to ask.
Right.
Because we ain't never had last days ministry before. So this is all new ground. And I sat and think the other day, I was figuring years ago that, you know, to preach all my life. But I figured after I'd done been in this thing 35, 40 years, I figured it'd be easier. Well, it's harder than it was 42 years ago.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what I was thinking. But it's because it's last day's ministry. And it ain't supposed to be easy. Because times are getting harder, and we got to deal with things and do things, and people change. But I'm glad there's a constant that this book don't change. And I'm glad there's a constant that the Lord Jesus don't change. And I can trust His promises as much tonight as I could the night I knelt down and asked Him to save my soul. I am trusting just as much now that nothing's changed. The blood is still as pure and powerful. Huh? Heaven is still as sweet and real. Huh? His grace is as much sufficient than it's ever been. His mercies was brand new again this morning. They'll be brand new again in the morning. Huh? Think about that. So we'll be all right. We just gotta learn. We've got to learn as we go. I reckon that's going to be what we have to do. Learn till Jesus comes, but we're going to occupy till He comes as well. All right? Let's pray together, can we? Father, I come tonight, and Lord, if there's ever a time that I need You, Lord, it's tonight. Lord, I ask You to help me clear my mind, strengthen my heart, strengthen the insides, God. This old outside's wearing, but Lord, You strengthen the inside, and the outside will catch up. Lord, we trust You tonight. I ask You to increase my faith. Lord, so often I ask to increase their faith. Increase mine tonight. Touch me tonight. Speak to my heart tonight. Change me tonight, oh God, into what I need to be. Help me be the pastor that I need to be, the husband, the daddy, the papa, the friend. God, failed so many times, come short so many times, Lord, I want to quit it. I want to stop that. I want to do better. Help me tonight, I pray. Help us as a church tonight. Now, Lord, we got things looking us in the face. Lord, I pray that we might be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us to do as you say. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. We think about camp, we think about our children, and we think about what we're getting ready to face we are praying, or I hope you're praying, that this camp changes us and helps us along as a church and helps our kids. I want our kids to have help. I want you young people to be on fire for the Lord. I want you young guys, I want y'all to be on fire for the Lord, because y'all's going to be doing this.
Yes, amen.
We're easing out of the picture. Now, I want you to humor me tonight. Those over 60, raise your hand. Those over 60, right? I want you to look, turn around, everybody look. Those over 60, all right? Can I tell you, that's over half of here, what's here, right at half of what's here tonight. All right? We don't have that much time left. We don't have 60 more. We don't have 60 more, I'm here to tell you. And some are feeling the pains of where you're at, ain't we, Trish? We talked about that tonight. We're feeling the pains of gaining ground, all right? But can I tell you, we're depending on you kids now. This past week, I reckon it was. I'm going to read you something. I read this, and I thought it was one of the best things that I've read in a while for help to explain what we're facing at camp and what we face every year. Michael Spurlock, Fairview Baptist Temple, down Clay, he wrote this, and wise young man. He preached one of our youth rallies here a while back, and he's doing a great work down at Two Run, down there at Clay. And I want you to listen. I want everybody to listen intently now. You may have read it. That's fine if you did. But I want you to listen intently. All right? Pay close attention. Every single year, I see God do incredible things. We're talking about camps and things, he said. Teenagers get saved. Young men surrender to preach. Young ladies dedicate their lives to serving Christ. Sins get confessed. Lives get changed. Decisions are made. And it's one of the greatest blessings of ministry to watch. Can I hear an amen right there? We see that every year at camp. We see that every year at camp. But then, camp ends. The bus pulls back into the church parking lot. Everyone hugs goodbye. Parents pick up their kids. And before long, for many teenagers, and I would dare say most teenagers, that fire starts to fade. Why? Why? And he says, I think there's three big reasons. That's what he said. He said the first reason is that home don't change.
There you go.
That's the first reason. That home don't change. Now, we're sending our kids to camp, and we're making sure they get there, making sure they got the right Bible, making sure that everything's going to be set up. The lessons are good. We're going to pray. We got the time scheduled out. We've got God scheduled in everywhere we can put him. All right? And God has been faithful to move upon them. We've seen some great things. We've seen some great prayers answered. We've seen people saved. We've seen people come back to the Lord that we didn't even know was coming to camp. We've seen great prayers answered. Huh? But home don't change. While the teenagers are away seeking God, many parents simply enjoy a quiet week. But what if, imagine if moms and dads spent that week praying that God would do something that would last.
Amen.
a teenager comes home wanting to live differently, but if nothing around them is different, it's easy for them to slip right back into the same habits they left. A changed heart needs a home that encourages spiritual growth. Number two reason. The world don't stop pulling. The home never changes, but the world don't quit pulling. Just because we have camp don't mean that that's going to make them exempt from the world. The phone comes back out.
Amen.
The games come back on. Social media picks back up. The same influences that were there before camp are waiting after camp. The world don't take a week off. We separate ourselves from the world for a week, but the world don't quit. It simply waits for us to get home. Before long, Bible reading gets neglected, prayer becomes inconsistent, and the excitement they had at camp starts fading. Sounds pretty wise here. Pretty wise. The third reason, not only is home not changed, not only does the world not quit pulling, but the church has to do more than just send their kids to camp. We can't expect 1 week to do what the other 51 weeks undo. Think about that. These teenagers, young people, they need adults who will pray with them while they're not at camp. Encourage them while they're not at camp. Disciple them when they're not at camp. Give them opportunities to serve, and I might add to worship and to be free in the Lord as they are at camp, other than just camp. They need people who will remind them that following Jesus is worth it, not just the week of camp. I thought this was a tremendous thought. The invitation at camp, we've seen invitations go for an hour. We've seen the puddles of tears on the old hardwood floor. Some of them have been our tears, ain't they? We've seen it. We've gathered up and we've watched as families come and got around one another, and husbands and wives and their kids, and they've wept tears on the floor. Grandparents have joined them. I mean, we've done it. We've been there. We've seen it, have we not? We've seen it. Huh? But it's not the finish line. The invitation is the starting line.
Right. That's right.
But we've left it like it was the finish line, like we've accomplished what we set out to do, but that's the start of it, not the end of it. That's the start of it. Huh? Because when we get home, that's when the work begins. The work don't begin getting camp going. The work begins when camp's done. Huh? So we're going to have to cultivate the home and keep investing. The church is going to have to keep investing in the kids. But it ain't just the kids, it's one another. How many of us, as adults, have got help? Raise your hand if you've got help at camp. If you're an adult, not as a kid, but as an adult. Counselors and more than once we've got help. Coming there for a load. In years past, I've come in with things that no one knows. Me and Cheryl have. No one knows. And God worked it out and fixed things out. They can't. And no one knows a clue other than us and God. Huh? Some of y'all the same way. We've watched one another, our love grow one for another, have we not? We've wept together, and we've hugged one another, and we've got down and prayed in at the altar and down the aisle, outside under the tables, huh? We've shouted and run and praised God and wept. But parents, you're going to have to cultivate things at home. The church is going to have to keep investing here at church. But the teenagers, y'all's going to have to choose every day to walk with God, not just can. Because y'all's in this thing too. It ain't just us. It's all of us together. Okay? Now, if we're wondering why we don't see as many young people stay faithful after making decisions for Christ, maybe the answer is not finding a better camp or a different place. Maybe it's going to be building better homes and stronger churches. That the decisions that are made this week take root.
Yes. There you go.
That's where we're at. Camp changes lives. You believe that?
Yes.
But homes and churches determine whether that change lasts. I thought Spurlock done a good job in what he wrote there. I believe that pretty well sums it up. It brings things down to where we're at. Now, camp is our what we consider the highlight of our year. So if that's the highlight of a year, let's just have it 52 weeks a year. That's what we say when we're at camp, ain't it? How many times have we left camp and said, I wish we could have camp? How often? All the time. Well, we can. We can. But what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to shut the world out for 52 weeks. I'll just go ahead and tell you, the reason that God meets with us at the camp is because we shut the world out for a week. But we have trouble turning loose of the world the other 51 weeks. So let's look at a couple of verses tonight. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Very familiar scripture. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Well, I've looked at that. I've preached that verse hundreds of times, you know. Train. Says to draw along. To train. To entice. To draw with persuasion or promise. To train up as militia.
Yeah.
To train up a child like we're training militia.
Yep.
Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Now, base some stuff that's got to be done. Order and consistency and all them things come in when it's training.
Yeah.
Simple, isn't it? How about Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6. Some of you children can quote all this. Right? A lot better than I can read it. You can quote it. But let's look at verse 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. But what's that next word? It didn't say sin. It didn't say send them up. It says bring them up. That means with us. That we all go together. Huh? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that training and all the things that's necessary, but you don't tell them to do it, but we bring them as we do it. Because we are forgetting to be brought up or to take the stand of nurture and admonition for the Lord. We got to bring our young people with us. Think about that. How about Deuteronomy chapter 6? Deuteronomy chapter 6. All these are familiar verses. We read them all the time. And you know they don't get no more truer. They was complete truth when they was written, but they've never diminished. They're still complete truth. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 6. And let's look at verse 6. Let's just start at verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. What do y'all talk about at home? What do y'all talk about at home? When y'all sit around the house, what do y'all talk about at home? What's y'all's conversation about? Is it teaching them diligently about the words of God, what God says and do? Teach him diligently to thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. What are you talking about when you... We don't do much walking, by the way. We drive everywhere, but what do you do when you walk, by the way? When you drive around, what you talk about? When you get ready for bed, what we talk about? And when thou liest down? And when you get up of a morning, what you talk about at the breakfast table? What you talk about when you're shoving a Pop-Tart in a toaster? Huh? What are you talking about when you're driving through Starbucks for a coffee to get them awake for their school? And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontless between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I'm not trying to meddle, cast stones, but it'd be better if we wrote down the words of God and take down the schedules of the world. Well, that's what's on our walls, is the schedules of the world, not the Word of God. Am I okay? Says to teach. Teach means to impart knowledge. Huh? To impart skill. To provide instruction. To guide. Huh? To show how. As y'all know, I'm a machinist by trade. And since I quit over there at the plant 26 years ago, I quit, 25 and a half years ago, I quit over, and they didn't replace me. They didn't hire nobody in my position. And what they did, they called me to come back and just as needed for me to machine something. And sometimes I may go 6 months and never go back. Sometimes I may go back once a month or once every 3 months or something, maybe 2 days. And, you know, go over and help them out, and I'll make a part for them. Well, that's good for me and good for them. All right. Good both way. But here lately they said, you're sickly, preacher, and you're not going to be able to do it. And will you teach somebody here how to do it? And I said, I can't teach what I know. I can't just tell you. I can't tell you how to run one of the machines. I have to show you. Well, we don't have time for that. I said, well, I can't tell you. Because I'm going to have to tell you, I've been doing this since 1978. I can't tell you what I know since 1978, how to run these machines. I have to show you. See, I've been a Christian all these years, and I've been a pastor all these years. I can't tell you. I got to show you. But I can only show you what I know. And I have not been in some of the places you've been. And I've not done some of the things you've done. And I've not experienced them, but you have. But you can't tell them. You got to show them how you got through. You got to show them why you're in church today. You got to show them tell them and show them and discuss what you come out of. Now, we don't brag about our sin. We don't need to brag about how bad we've been. But can I tell you, it's not bad if we have those who used to have a drinking problem tell how you was delivered from drink and what the drink done to you. That we can tell these kids that. If you had trouble in other ways, whether it be alcohol or drugs or sexual perversions or problems or whatever the case may be, how did God save you out of it? They need to know, because they're going to be facing or already facing the same thing. And just to tell them don't do it ain't enough. They need to know how we was delivered. That's what true teaching is. Are we still okay? How about Acts chapter 2? Is everybody still with me tonight? I'm just trying to encourage us a little bit, help us a little bit, if I can. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't even know if I do anybody any good anymore. I don't even know if I should do anything. You know? I wonder sometimes. Acts chapter 2. Let's look here at verse 38. It said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ain't that wonderful to know that when you get saved, you get the Holy Ghost? But verse 39 says this, for the promise is unto you, and to your children. Amen. Do we pray for our children to be filled with the Spirit? Do we pray for us to be filled with the Spirit? Do we live for us as adults? Do you purpose? Look at me now. Do you as an adult purpose to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God of the day? Do you? I'm asking you. Do you purpose? Do you ask God, God, cleanse me and fill me of the Holy Spirit today? Did you do that today? Did you do it for your children? Did you ask God to fill our children with the Holy Spirit of God today? The promise is to us and our children.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what it says, and to all that are far off. Now, is that far off, Brother Rick, you tell me, does that mean another county, or is that this one's ain't as close to the others? It means the same, don't it? Either those that's real close or those that ain't. Can I ask you tonight, are we close or not? How close are we? How close are they? I'm just talking about our children. That's the title of the message tonight, our children. How about Proverbs 20? Give us a couple more and we'll quit. Proverbs chapter 20. See, it matters about our children, does it not? I pray when I pray. I ask God to cleanse me. Every time I pray, God, cleanse me and fill me, give me power. I pray for the power of God. Every time I pray, I pray for wisdom and for Holy Spirit power. Do I have it all the time? No, because I got to be clean. And there's a one thing to pray for cleansing, one thing to not fall back down to dirt. What was it I told you this week, Jared? It's one thing to quote the scripture. How was it? It's one thing to know the scripture. It's another thing to live the scripture.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, y'all, all you kids, look at me. Y'all quit whispering and drawling. Y'all want all kids listening to me. All right? Y'all need to, don't talk one to another if I'm talking. Okay? Y'all going to quote hundreds of verses. It ain't going to help you a bit.
Right.
If you don't live it.
That is correct.
Amen.
Well, we know people that quote hundreds of verses. It didn't change him.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me? It ain't what you're able to do, it's what you do with it. We okay? But my integrity, my testimony, my leadership, how I walk, how I talk, how I teach, it's so important. Look in Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. We better pay attention how we're walking. I wonder how many people, how many young people that I've been around. 19 years. This is our 19th camp. This is our 19th youth camp. We started our first youth camp in 2007. First youth camp I ever went to was 2006. Me and Rick took a van load of y'all. Well, y'all was, some of you, I don't know if any of you's here or not tonight. We took you to Pennsylvania. Marvin Smith, Bob DeWitt, Solid Rock Youth Conference in a big conference center in Pennsylvania. And then we come home and said we need a youth camp. And we've struggled and tried to figure out how to do it. We never learned how to do it yet. Had the first one as Solid Rock Youth in 2007. 2008, we started it as Mountain State Baptist Youth Camp. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Oh, we got to watch. We got to pay attention. We got to pay attention how we're walking. Huh? Keep your phones in your car. Keep your phones in your car. You don't need them. Psalm 78. Does this make sense to anybody?
Amen.
Psalm 78. And let's just start at verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He had done. We better be teaching our kids where we was, how He brought us out, what we are. We better remind our kids of our heritage in our country, how we started, how our church started, how our homes, why we're here tonight, how our homes. Listen, kids, do you know Hannah sings that song, "I Could Have Had a Different Story"? Listen to me. And I'm not bragging, I'm telling you what God has done in the home of the Sechrist family. That Joseph Sechrist and Anna come from Kentucky to Winona, West Virginia, a Methodist preacher and a praying wife, and raised 14 children, and the boys were drunkards and mean, and the women were drunkards and mean and rebellious against mom and dad. They drank liquor, they run moonshine, owned beer joints, run houses of they had no business of running, you understand? They died young. They died, some of them died in sin. But there was a couple. They was three boys that got gloriously saved because of a praying mama.
Yeah.
And my papa was one of them. And he got saved, but he raised three hellish boys, Boyd and Kenny and Holly Ray. And his papa was a drunk and played music on the weekends and would be drunk from Friday to Monday morning every week. That's what my family was.
Yeah.
And God saved him.
Right.
Gloriously saved him.
That's right.
At a cottage prayer meeting on a Sunday afternoon.
Right. Yeah.
Think about this. Raised boys, and my daddy then followed Papa's steps before being saved. And my daddy would work in the mines and then fight and drink all weekend. Work Monday through Friday and work hard and then drink and fight Saturday and Sunday. That's all he done. Went to Korea, come back, fought, drank. But on a Sunday night at the Continental Baptist Church, he came to a preaching service, and Papa preached and said, "Why don't you just come on and come out in the," he preached on Moses crossing the Red Sea. He said, "Come on out and come to the other side." And Daddy walked down the aisle and got saved.
Amen.
And I was given the same choices in a sense. That I knew the stories and I could have tried to bend like that. But there was something stopped. And I'm not going to blame Papa for Daddy, but I'm going to tell you what my daddy did. He set a boundary right down below the house. And there was a light pole there below the house. And he said, "You don't go by past the light pole. Because down the road past the light pole was the pool room. And the pool room was where my life was run. And you don't go past the light pole." And I was 18 years old and still was not allowed, unless I was driving out the road to go somewhere, I wasn't allowed downtown past the light pole.
Right. Amen.
He set a standard.
Yeah.
And I could have had a different story.
Yeah.
And because of this and that time it was taken, I've not held any liquor in my hand. Other than where I've led somebody to the Lord and we run her down the sink. It's never come to my mouth. I've never used God's name in vain. It's never come out of my mouth. You don't hear me talking dirty. It don't happen that way. I've never done no drugs. I've been with one woman. For that's what I was taught. Are you listening to me? It does make a difference. And I'm here to tell you, young people, that you don't have to be like what others are, but we can make a difference as a parent and as the adults in this church. And though we've all got a past, and every one of us has got one, we can teach them what God has delivered us from. And I could have had a different story tonight. Huh? That's what I want you kids to know. This ain't no game to this preacher. Church ain't a game to me. It's not religion. It's not. I know what I've been delivered from, what I could have been. There's some of you tonight that's had the past, but you've been gloriously delivered. What God has done in your life, ain't nobody can change, ain't nobody can take back. And you've got so much to offer. Huh? We got to give it to our kids, and we better let them know. Back in verse 4, we okay? We will not hide from them, their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He had done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, not just the kids we got now, but all those that's fixing to have them and those that's carrying them now and those that just got done having them, even to the children should be born. Who should arise and declare them to their children. That they might set their hope, in God. And not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Oh, but look at verse 8. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our children. It's not just for us. Yeah. For the next one.
That's right.
Any of the kids here tonight that this is going to be your first camp? Any of the kids here tonight? Talk to me. Any kids here tonight, this is your first camp? Anybody at all? Are they? If you are, hold your hand up. I got to see. Ain't none of them here? So we all these will be second timers? Am I right? Talk to me, Maria. We got any first timers here tonight?
Mariah.
Who?
Mariah.
All right. All right. Your first camp. I'm tickled that's your first camp. So we've had last year's so you could come this year.
Yeah.
We want to have this year so some new ones can come next year. What about these ones? What about Ray Ray? Smiley? What about that heathen Jensen? Lord knows he's going to need camp when he gets old enough. Huh? Not, you might need a concentration camp. We got all these kids. Maddie's getting ready to have it, but Macy's getting ready to have it. Look at all, Jen, you had so many kids you didn't know what to do. Now you're going to have so many grandkids you ain't going to know what to do. They're just going to be running east, west, and crooked. We better hang in there with them, hadn't we? It's too many. Look at all them. Charity, y'all got, they just keep a coming.
Yeah.
Don't you think maybe we ought to get in here for our children?
Yeah.
Well, let's pray about it. Come on.